Love Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with Michael Franks. It's been a long time. Island Christmas Family, right here on The Love Journey.
Let's call up and buy those tickets.
Quality, not quantity.
'Cause the greatest gift we have to give is you and me. We need an island Christmas this year. Let's have an island Christmas.
Decorate a mango tree, and you can string some lights on me.
No snow to shovel Christmas Day. We'll snorkel through a turquoise bay.
While others plod through jingle bells,
we'll roam the beach collecting shells.
I understand flannel pajamas
are not allowed in the Bahamas. Handel's Messiah's far too glum, a repertoire for the steel drum.
To another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And yes, that was Michael Franks right here on The Love Journey. I got up thinking about an island Christmas this morning. Oh, yes, I guess we got a little Zakiya on our mind, an island Christmas. Oh, I think I'm on the island Christmas this year, family. You can stream the life on me. Yay! All right, family, we're going to get ready and go within. Recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this whole universe. And that we recognize that power and that presence that is known by many names on this line as God. The good. The omnipotent. Oh, did you hear that word? Everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that God is not. As we invite and invoke the presence of God. Oh, I want you to become very intentional about the breath, to breathe. And I want you to know there is power in the breath. As you become very present in this right now moment, being very intentional about the breath, I want you to take in that breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, remembering to breathe deep into the diaphragm, and remember to release. And as you release this point, I want you to release all the things that no longer serve. And so in this right now moment, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And then release. Slowly breathe in again. Be still and know
that I am God. Breathe. And know that I am. That I am God. Breathe. And last time, family, sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to breathe. There is power in the breath. Breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. And as we center our mind, centering our thoughts, Divine Mother, Father, God, oh, come, precious Holy Spirit, in the matchless name of you, Holy Spirit. We come before you today. Come on, Holy Spirit, asking that every word of my mouth, come, Holy Spirit, and every meditation of my heart, oh, come, Holy Spirit, be so acceptable as it comes from the transcending power of my I Am presence. Come, Holy Spirit, Divine Mother, Father, God. Precious, precious, Holy Spirit. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the elevation in consciousness. Come, Holy Spirit. As we come together in this one mind, one spirit, I ask you to come and remove every human created thought. Come and let us stop. Come, Holy. And remove every human created ego, God. Oh, God, let me come empty this morning. That I may be filled to the brim and overflow by your presence. Oh, let me come empty, God. Let it be none of my human presence, but all of you in this right now moment, standing here as you in me, as me all around. Oh, Holy Spirit, let my words be your words this morning, God. Oh, let my thoughts be your coming and know each and every person under the sound of my voice in this right moment, God, that all of my thoughts this morning will be so anointed by you, God, that our thoughts will be your thoughts this morning, God. Let our words be so anointed by you, Holy Spirit, that our words will be your words, God, the melodic sounds of you, Holy Spirit. That they will hear the voice of God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let our eyes, oh, yeah, let our eyes be covered by the wisdom of you, Holy Spirit, that we can only see with the spiritual 2020 vision, God, that we can see the way you see, oh, that we can see people, that we can see the God in people, and we can see the God in ourselves. Come on, Holy Spirit, and let us see like you see this. Oh, Holy Spirit, come our ears so that we can hear the melodic sounds of all of you coming through our ears, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, take over our thoughts. Take over our bodies this morning, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come in. And oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for a clean heart. Oh, and renewing the right spirit in each and every one of us, God. Oh, give us a clean heart, Holy. Oh, Holy Spirit, give us forgiveness where there's no forgiveness. Oh, bring peace where there's no peace, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to make the worst places smooth. Then there's this new God. I'm asking you to take all the burdens and make them light this morning, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, as we give and have our way in you this morning, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, in you, Divine Mother, that you may heal our spirit. Oh, that we may surrender to your will this morning, God. That our will be their total alignment of what we can to the King to manifest in this right now, oh God. But we will be so anointed by our gifts right now, God. That we will be so in love with our gifts right now, God. That we will be able to share our gifts with the world on the world, that the world will come to know each and every person under the sound of my voice by your gift that you have so eloquently placed inside of us. Oh, Holy Spirit, they will know us by our gifts. Come on, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, let our gifts unfold right now, God. Let us be so in love with the presence of us right now, God, that even that love will reinforce that gift that we can enter the tent to express as you, Holy Spirit. Come, God. Oh, God, do your stuff in us right now, God, that we will be so anointed this month, God. Oh, we will be so anointed with the anointing of Abraham that we will be so blessed right now, God, that even the blessed will call us blessed. Come, God, to your stuff right now. Oh, Holy Spirit, that we will be so anointed this morning, God, that we will be anointed with the gift of Solomon, God, not just for wealth, but with wisdom, God, to move your kingdom on earth in the way that you will have it be. Come on, God. Oh, God, I'm just so grateful right now, God. Oh, I'm just one grateful somebody, God, that we will be so anointed this morning right now, God, that we will be so anointed by your love, God, that your love will show in every cell in our body, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, that it will just come in our body right now, and we will reek the love of you, God. Oh, everyone will be in our presence. Oh, we will be so anointed. Our presence will be a blessing to those in the world, and the blessings that will be sent to you get to come, Holy Spirit, and anoint our feet, that everywhere we tread, our feet shall be upon your holy ground, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint our hands this morning, that everything we touch shall prosper. Oh, everything we touch shall prosper, God. Oh, thou shalt prosper in everything we touch. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and anoint these hands, God, that everything we touch will be turned gold, not just gold, but platinum gold, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I'm asking you to come, God, and anoint our bodies, God, highest vibration, God, that it will return to its optimal vibratory energetic expression as you, God, as we walk the planet as you, God. As we walk, we come the walking embodiment of who you are in us, God, and that you will be so felt in our presence, God, that even our presence will be a blessing to those that are in the atmosphere, God. Oh, our presence will change the atmosphere, the molecules will move when we come in the room, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to anoint us this morning, God. Oh, I'm asking you to anoint our lips, God. Oh, just like David, God, that our cup runs up, God. Oh, with joy, happiness, success, love, wisdom, passion, and purpose. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let you have your way in us today, God. Oh, that we may be so present with the soul this morning, that we will unfold the goals of the soul this morning, that the soul will have its way, that we will get out our own way and allow the presence of the soul to just be. Oh, what it does. Oh, we just give thanks for the unique expression of ourselves this morning, God. As you, as the walking embodiment of you right now, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you for healing this morning, God. I'm asking you to come and touch somebody's body this morning, God. I'm asking you to renew every cell in your body right now, God. Oh, I'm asking you to let that cell return to its highest vibratory presence on this planet and this right now. Oh, God, I'm asking you to touch every muscle in the body, God. I'm asking you to touch every organ in the body, God. I'm asking you to touch every living system in the body, God. And anything that needs to be healed, any memory, any data, any information that does not serve our highest purpose, God, let it be released right now from the body. And to be released right now, Holy Spirit, because we serve up right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let us invoke you in us right now, God. within their field, the vibratory energy, and this call that they may touch the hill of your God's Holy Spirit. Let us feel you right now, God, as you raise the vibrations in this call. Let you speak through us today, God. Let the words that come from this call speak to somebody's mind this morning, God. Let it speak to somebody's heart this morning, God. Oh, come Holy Spirit, somebody came this morning with a mind to be blessed, God. Oh, let the healing begin, let it all be revealed in the mighty consciousness, all that you are, God. Oh, in this blessed season, God. Oh, in this harvest, God. Let us be so blessed, God, that we can bless those around us and bless us and God. Oh, yes, we need to come, Holy Spirit, and let there be light right now, God. Let us come forth with a great multi-million dollar idea, God. Let it be so powerful. Let it be so known, God, in all the directions to bring it and manifest it, God, that we will know it is you, Holy Spirit. Let it wow our mind today, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let our unique expression be a blessing today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless us. And I give thanks this morning for each and every one of our seeds this morning. Thanking you for our children, God. Thanking you for their minds this morning, God. Thanking you for their minds to be who you called them to be, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and touch our children. Even touch our seeds this morning. I'm just giving one grateful. Oh, I'm just one grateful somebody, God. Oh, for the new baby that is coming into our experience, I just welcome her to the kingdom, God. I just bless her mind. I bless her soul, God. Bless her body, God. I bless the experience of God and going through her crazy. That this would be so beautiful, so easy, and so elegant, and so full of grace, God. Oh, Father God, I ask you to send light into her spirit right now, God. I ask you to send light into her mind right now, God. I ask you to send light into her body right now, God. Oh, for God, I'm asking you to come and bless the baby's experience to the planet, God, that it will be so beautiful, so filled with your love. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and bless each and every one of our seeds, God. And I'm asking you to bless us today. I'm asking you to send your blessings on us today. Thanking you for the all that is in this season, God. Thanking you for this opportunity to be present in this season, God. This season is our time right now, God, to harvest all that we have planted, God. And I'm just one grateful somebody to be in this season. All that is shall come forth that we will receive all of your blessings, all of your goodness, and every little girl, everything we touch. In the mighty consciousness, name, and nature of who you are in us right now, God. Together. God, this body, our shape. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. Good morning, God. Good morning. All the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the morning, Father Sky, the morning to Mother Earth, and all the land and the sea. All the beautiful flowers, the wind, the fire, the water, and the ether. Good morning. For all of the universe, as we send love into the universe this morning, good morning, universe. Good morning to our most beneficent angelic family. Good morning, angels, as we invite and invoke your presence and your thanks that God loved us so much. God sent powerful legions of angels to stand around us, to lead and guide us if we in our hearts. Their presence. We give thanks as we invite and invoke the archangels, the powerful angels that are right here beside us. Good morning, archangels. We invite you to thank for the powerful and the majestic as we invite invoke this into the morning, this into the night, this into the morning. As we invite and invoke our spirit guides and our master guides, good morning, master guides, and good morning, spirit guides. As we pay homage to the mighty, powerful presence of our loved ones, our ancestors, those who walked the planet before, those who gave and sacrificed their life, those who were our mighty, powerful ancestors, that we know their names, we speak them right now. It's Anastasia Nakatina. Good morning, Mom. It's Colette Grant. And we honor those ancestors that changed our culture. We speak the names of those that we think of in our hearts. And those we may not think of, and those that we may never know who affected change so that we can be here today. So those that are unknown, we honor your presence, fight, and invoke you into this call. Good morning, ancestors, known and unknown. Good morning, ancestors, as we pay homage to your presence, as we pour libation into the earth, recognizing the gift of our ancestors. And as we just stop to honor the gift, the presence, the beautiful, energetic expressions of who we are, God on the planet. Thank you, God, for this gift called Jamina and the gift of each and every one of those who are under my voice this morning. As we give thanks for our presence, our physical presence on this planet. We give thanks to be the gift on earth. We give thanks that we honor the gift that we are and the gifts and talents we've been given to share with the world, God. We just thank you for creating such a unique aspect of yourself and then calling it each and every one of us. God, you are so amazing. Thank you for us this morning. And good morning, and thank you for those who will walk this planet behind us. We give thanks, known and unknown, descendants, as we know the work that we do today is a game changer. The prayers that we pray affect those. We give thanks that we knew how to pray. We give thanks that we know how to be the game changer, and that the healing work that we do today will affect those who come behind us. Come on, Holy Spirit, do your stuff. Good morning, Love Journey family. Good morning to my kings and queens, my gods and goddesses, my sisters and my brothers, my Love Journey family. I honor your presence this morning by honoring the God in you. The God in me greets and honor the God in you. The light in me greets and honor the light in you. The light, the love in me greets and honor the love in you. This morning, I am so grateful. I give thanks for each and every one of you under the sound of my voice this morning. I give thanks for your presence in my life. I give thanks for this Love Journey energy because of you. I am this morning reminding you that we, each and every one of us, are the mind of God in expression. We are the divine mind of God in expression this morning. And I want to remind you of your divine right to express your God-given presence this morning, reminding you you are all that God is. Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of the Love Journey. Yes, we're going to be reading from the science of the mind. And we're going to be surprised because I don't know y'all thought I would think about it, right? Miss Delarice, you know, I'm so grateful. I cannot tell you simply how grateful I am. I remember when Johnny Coleman ordained her. I was sitting right there in the church when Dr. Johnny Coleman ordained Delarice. And I heard her speak to me a few times at the church as a little girl. And I just want to tell you, I am so grateful for my life. I never knew that all of that would be a 360-degree turn, and I would be here to there. What I've learned sitting at the feet of people like Della Reese, Dr. John Coleman, Reverend like Catherine Ponder. Amazing, amazing, amazing experience. And you know what? I thought about Dr. Coleman actually had Eartha Kitt there. And I got to meet Eartha Kitt as a little girl. And I got to see Timbuktu because they gave the play there. And it was just, God. I didn't even understand where I was going at that young age. And so today I just want to say I am so grateful. So grateful. So I'm going to be reading some of the Signs of the Mind. I'm going to play My Gift to You by Alexander O'Neill. And I got a text. That song was by Michael Franks this morning. I Am Christmas. That was Michael Franks. Yes. You tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience, and for the Mind. Then we're going to hear Della Reese. And while I'm pulling up the Signs of the Mind today, we're going to hear My Gift to You. Alexander.
Yeah.
Good morning, good morning. You tuned into the Love Journey, and this is the reading of the signs of the mind. Today is about the divine urge. J.R.R. Tolkien once said in a book called The Fellowship of the Ring, "Don't adventures ever have an end?" I suppose not. Someone else always has to carry on the story. In Ernest Holmes' book, A New Design for Living, on page 50, he said, the endless procession of change and the infinite variety of experiences and the expression there is that which does not change. Ooh, and we know what that is, right? Today, the magazine talks about the divine urge. The divine urge is what causes the seed to burst into life, the birdling to crack its shell, inventions to be birthed, and our artists to create. You see, if we get out of our way and let life express through and around us, magnificent things happen. I want you to learn to trust your creative urge, and you will know how to live. I want you to be thankful to the idea that has used you to get you out of your own fixed position and into a new adventure of spirit's expression. Let me say that again. Be thankful to the idea that has used you to get you out of your fixed position and into a new adventure of spirit's expression. Come on, spirit, do your stuff. You've been called to carry on the divine story of spirit passing into form. You see, you've been called this morning. See, you've been called to carry the divine story of spirit passing into form, of God incarnating as you on this planet. If you don't get out the box you are living in, you will never know how much more God can be. Come on now. The Teotihuacan Sheen states, when I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. There's some good stuff. Let me say that again. If you don't get out the box you are living in, you will never know how much more God can be. The Tao Te Ching states, when I get out of my own way, when I let go of what I am, I become what I might be. Have you ever noticed that after you let go, you find what you have been looking for seems to come your way, whether it was an idea, a job, or a relationship, or even an item? Sometimes it isn't a matter of what else you need to do. It might be just what you need to stop doing and you want. See, spirit is in and through all things. There is nothing for it to change into but be itself. Come on, y'all. Life will continue to have its twists and turns, but it all leads you back to spirit expressing through your experience. What appears as mistaken paths only lead to unforeseen adventures. Come on. Yeah. Spirit, yes, it's in and through all things, and there's nothing for it to change into but itself, because spirit is all it can ever be. Life will continue to have its twists and turns, but it all leads you back to spirit expressing through your experience. What appears as mistakes, paths only lead to unforeseen adventures. You are all that God is. You are spirit, living a spiritual life. Come on, family. Let that divine story that is passing as you this morning come into form. Let God express itself through you. Ever know how much more God can be as us on this planet if we don't let go? The divine urge. Will you say yes to the divine urge? Will you say yes to that sacred yes? Oh, I just love this little book. Spirit now passes into magnificent form as me. That's our affirmation. Say that with me. Spirit now passes into magnificent form as me. Spirit now passes into magnificent form as me. Come on, spirit. Come on, spirit. Wow, wow, wow. I'm so grateful. All right, family, I'm going to play this little clip. It's not little because it might be a little longer than you might want to expect, but it's a beautiful tribute to our beautiful Delores, who left the planet. We want to send love and light into her and her family as she has made her transition. We give thanks. And this is when she was at the church and she was honoring Dr. Donna Comey. But what's really powerful is we get to hear a little history of her story. And I want to share this with you today. I was in that way. I was there, family. I was there.
Good morning. God bless you this morning. I really do love you this morning. And I sure am glad to be here. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's always good to come home and to be with my buddy that I love so very, very much. I think I have a right to talk about healing, because I've been healed of so much stuff. Oh, yeah. You know about, I don't need to be right here. You know about how she healed my body. I'm going to tell you about that again, too. I just like to talk about it because it's so wonderful. But before that, I want to take you a long way back. In 1977, I had been on top of the theatrical world since 1957. And I had done many things. Vegas, I'd been to Australia, Japan, I'd toured Europe, I'd done just about everything. And I wasn't a young thing anymore. And all these young things were reaching for the top. The music was changing. And I didn't want to be a rap singer. And I didn't want to go ooh da 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 da, ooh da da da. I didn't want to do that. So I said, well, I'll try the theater for it. And I did. I did a couple of plays and I finally got one that was wonderful. And I just knew I was on the way to Broadway with this show. And for many reasons, nonsensical and whatever, the show didn't make it. And that seemed to be the thing that just came right down in the middle of my head and hit me, that it was time for me to realize that I might have to do something else. And all I had ever wanted to do was to sing. So I began to, what if? You know what if? You don't know what if. Well, what if will kill you quicker than cancer, let me tell you. I just got all deep down into what if. What if the music don't change back? What if I don't get to sing no more? What am I going to do if I don't do what I've been doing? I put all my life into this. Everything I had, I put into singing. And what am I going to do now? They don't like my singing no more. What am I going to do now? The play ain't working. I ain't making no money. What if I have to give up my house? What if? So now I'm doing another play in Philadelphia. It's a good play, got a good story to it. It's interesting, and my part is terrific. So I feel like, okay, he's answered my prayer again. He's going to get me out of this mess. So we start to do the play in Philadelphia, and the play is about a minstrel show. This woman has had over 200 minstrel players, but they have been reduced to 7. And she's trying to hold on. And our race is tired of people making fun of them with blackface and big lips and things like that. And so we have this Martin Luther King type person who is passing through the South and saying, we don't have to do this anymore. And he's very upset about my show with the minstrels. And we go to Philadelphia. We don't know that they have a Mummer's Day parade, which is a real terrible thing for the black people of Philadelphia, because everybody paints up their face in black face and big lips, and they march through the city of Philadelphia. We don't know this. We didn't come here for nothing but to do this play right here. So a newspaper man comes in to see the play, and he sees only the first act. And he goes back to his paper, and he writes, I don't know what Miss Reese is trying to do, take us back to slavery. I don't know what's on Miss Reese's mind. We'd rather see her under whom and whom de whom de her. And what's wrong with Miss Reese? Why can't you whom de whom de whom de her? And so eventually, a teacher brings her children, high school kids, to see the show. And she is so impressed with it, what we are teaching, as well as the entertainment of it, that she writes the newspaper. And she says, I don't know how he could make this kind of a review. This is an excellent show. My students enjoyed it. And how could he write a review after only seeing the first act? And so the teachers of her school came together with her, and they all literally attacked the newspaper. And so they sent him back to review it again. Well, now he's been talked about and chastised and all that stuff. So you cannot expect a good review from him. So he says, well, after I saw the end of it, I understand what they was trying to do, but I still don't know why they brought that slavery back up here. We don't need slavery anymore. The next thing I saw was a closing notice. The show had closed, and there I was again with nothing to do, with nowhere to go, I thought. I didn't know where the money was coming from or any of that. And I met this man called Michael Robinson, and he did hair and makeup for me. And he would come in and talk to me during another play we were doing, and he would bring me his troubles. Bring me your trouble? I got trouble of my own. Give me a break. But I had to get this wig on and this makeup on for this show. So I'm getting the wig and the makeup on, and he's telling me his troubles. And I said, well, then what you ought to do? I'm tired of hearing him. And I said, you ought to do this, you ought to do that, and you so-and-so, and it would be okay. He said, you sound just like Johnny Coleman. I said, what's a Johnny Coleman? He says, well, if you're ever in Chicago, you've got to go see her. She's wonderful, and she's my pastor, and she's, and on and on and on. And so, as God would have it, we came to Chicago with that play. And when we got here, he says, you have to go and see Johnny Coleman. You're right here in town. I said, well, okay, I will go. And I came to the little jewel box. Well, first I came to a POT meeting in a downtown hotel. And she began to talk to me. She didn't know she was talking to me, but she began to talk directly to me. And she began to heal my attitude. You see, you can't get anywhere if you don't have the right attitude. And she began to heal my attitude. Now she's intrigued me, because she's the only person that I have had ever heard who gave God a good bill of health. Everybody else made him gargantua, and he was mean, and he would get you, and he would kill you, and he would this, and he would do that to you. And I kept saying, if God wanted to get me, I would be yesterday's news, because one zap. Well, when you're in a church that teaches that God will do that, they don't want you to say that. So I got put out of all the churches. Because I will ask a question. You see, there are some people who don't want you to know they don't know, so they stay dumb and they don't ask a question. I will ask a question. See, I'll do that. I'll ask a question. So they put me out of all the churches because I could say, well, if God is so loving, how can he do this to me? I don't think this is real service for you. I think that you would probably be better in another service. Well, I thought God was in all the service. Well, okay, if you don't want me, I don't want to be where you are. You see, I don't need anybody. I don't want to be nowhere if you don't want. If you don't want to give me a glass of water, don't give it to me because I'm not going to drink it because it's going to taste bad. You see, that's my mind. That may not be so. Water may taste good. But in my mind, you didn't want to do it, and so it's going to taste better to me. And so I decided that I would come and see what she had to offer, other than these things that I had heard her say that day down at one of the hotels. She had rented the whole thing, and everybody was down there. And so I went to the little jewel box, and I started listening to her, and she started to heal my spirit. Oh, that's very important. You're not properly impressed. That's very important. She started to heal my spirit. She reached in what if land and got me and put me in God is land. She got me hooked now. So I'm doing Chico and the Man. And we work Monday through Friday. And every Friday evening, I catch the red eye. And I come to Chicago. And I take as many classes as I can beat Helen into giving me. Every Saturday. I work there every Saturday. What is this? What is this? Why is this? Who said this? Where does this go? What is this? Every Saturday. She had no Saturdays for 2 years. Every Saturday. She had me for 2 years every Saturday. Then I would come to service on Sunday, and Buddy would work with me on Sundays and give me something to last me through the next week of Chico and the Man. Those of you who just look at the television picture don't understand at all what we have to go through to get that picture for you. And sometimes we wanted to kill each other. And we felt we had good reason to kill each other. And I'd have to come back on Sunday. Johnny would straighten me out. And I would go back. And she made me a divining rod in Hollywood. All of the shows that we did, all of the things that I've done since that television shows, I have given a class for lunch. And the people that I have been teaching have said to me that their lives have changed. I'm just giving them what she gave me. So now she's healed my attitude and she's healed my spirit. But I still don't have anything to do that I really love doing. I need something. The thing about entertaining that was so good was it was creative. I sang the same songs sometimes every night, but I could sing them differently every night. I could change it around. I could make it different. And so every day, every time was exciting to me. And I didn't have anything exciting to do. And so I decided that I would go to school here from Los Angeles. So I said to her, Buddy, I said, I want to go to school. I want to be a teacher. I said, because I'm teaching classes and I want to have good information to give people about their lives. So I want to take classes. And so she and Helen set up this course for me to take, and correspondence course. And I would study, and whenever there would be intensives or anything, I would fly to Chicago and I would take my intensive and I would go back, and eventually I became a teacher. And I was very happy with that. I felt, this is good. This is what I'm going to do. This, I'm very happy. So now I'm having classes in my home. And we started off with 8 people. But now there are so many people in my house that my husband can't go to the kitchen and get a glass of water without being fully dressed. And he, I want to tell you, he was wonderful about it. But if you know your man, you know when he'd be tired of it. And he was tired of it, but he was tired to have to get dressed to go get a glass of water. But he never said anything, but I could just feel it. We had classes on Tuesday, and on Tuesday morning, he'd have kind of crick in his neck. He just, So I said, okay, maybe it's time for me to move out of here. And a lady came and brought her husband, who had terminal cancer, and he was angry at her because she was going to live and he was going to die. He was really angry that he was going to die because he had made no arrangements. But he took it out on her because she was the closest person to him. And she brought him to the class. And he came begrudgingly. But the thing about the truth is, when you hear it, you know it's the truth. You may not want to do it. You may not like it. You may not hear it, but you, inside of you, you know it's the truth. And so I began to teach, and he lived for 7.5 months after she first brought him. And during that 7.5 months, this man completely changed. He made peace with himself. He found a relationship with God. He courted his wife anew, and they were so happy when he did make his transition. And she asked me to do the service, and so I came. And the first thing was the minister said, well, no, you can't come up here, but I put a microphone right down here, and you can do what you got to do right down here. I said, okay. So he put me down there, and Buddy has given me so many books, but in one of the books was this story about a person who was dying, and the person was a ship, and this ship was sailing away from the shore, and everybody was saying goodbye. But on the other side where the ship was going to, the people were saying, welcome, come on in, come on in. We've been waiting for you. Happiness is here for you. And the people at the funeral accepted that and said, well, yeah, maybe dying isn't so bad after all. When I got through, the minister got up and said, oh, that's pretty stuff she's saying. But all y'all going to be laying right here at one time or another. So y'all better be trying to get yourself together, because them pretty pictures ain't going to help you when God comes. Well, the lady got so mad, she asked the minister not to come to the cemetery. She said, I won't, no, just don't. What do I owe you? Let me pay you. And no, you can come to the cemetery. So now, I'm at the, you want me to go to the cemetery? I don't know nothing about burying nobody. I'm at the cemetery. I called Buddy. After I get back, I did what I thought was right. I did what I saw Buddy do. When I got through, I run home. I said, Buddy, called on phone. I said, Buddy, I done buried this man. I don't know nothing about burying nobody. What am I supposed to do? She said, well, what did you do? And I told her what I did. She said, well, did you pray? I prayed. She said, what I did there? She said, well, there's nothing you can do about it now. He's in the ground. Okay. Okay. So the lady is satisfied. She still calls me and thanks me for the ceremony, and it's been years ago. And the next thing that happened was this young man and this woman wanted to get married. And they didn't want to say, until death do us part. They wanted to say, for as long as we live. I don't see the difference between that. As long as you live, huh? Death do you part? Well, what is the difference in that, huh? So I say, it's your wedding. If that's what you want to say, that's what we're going to say. So I do the wedding. I pronounce the man and wife, and the church that she belonged to, she wanted the minister of her church to give the benediction. So the minister got up and said to her, "You're looking pretty today, darling. You're looking good too, son. You're looking good. But don't you want to love this man till death do you part?" I'm on the phone. I tell Buddy, I said, "You're going to have to send me a minister out here. You have to send me a minister because things are just going wrong out here, and I'm going to end up in a lot of trouble. And so you better send me somebody out here." So she said, "I'll think about it." And in the interim, I spoke to the father. And he said, "Do it yourself." So me being smarter than God and all, I said, "You don't understand, Father. I'm not the one for this. Now what I will do is, I will bring a minister from CUT. I will take care of all of the expenses of that minister. I will get a place for it to stay. I will take good care of that minister. But you don't need me for this, Father. I know you don't need me for this. Trust me, I know what I'm saying." He said, "Do it yourself." Now, I am a devout coward. I ain't going to get in no kind of war with God. I'm not stupid. So I said, "Okay." And I got to come back to Chicago every chance I get so I can study to be a minister. And finally, I have my license to be a minister. So she has healed my attitude. She has healed my spirit. And she has taught me something to be excited about. God was revealed to me by her. Something that makes me excited all day, every day, morning and night. She heals me by revealing God to me. Now, I come here to do yet another play. And Michael Robinson is a part of that play. And I've been talking to this fox on the phone about business. Campbell's Soup had bought a macaroni product called Creamettes, and they wanted a crossover artist. That means somebody that the black folk lack and the white folk lack too. Crossover. And so this gentleman had tried Nancy Wilson, Carmen McRae, several other singers. And I had done a commercial for Kraft barbecue sauce. And the man that had done the commercial with me, the producer, spoke to this gentleman and said to him, "Who you really need is Della Reese. I've just done a commercial with her, and she's very good. She works fast. She don't take up a lot of time, waste a lot of money. So you really need her." He said, "Yeah, okay." But he never did call me. So now I come here to work with Ben Vereen at Mill Run. I don't know if that's even still here, but I come to work with Ben Vereen in Mill Run. And the man gets this gentleman to come to Mill Run and see me. And so he comes and he sees me and he makes an appointment to interview me. And he interviews me, and I'm very impressed with him from his business point of view. He came in with his papers ready. He knew what he was talking about. He didn't waste my time. It wasn't a dream. He had the company, and the company had hired him to hire someone. That was all very good for me. And so we had this meeting, but he wasn't my type. See, no, he wasn't my type. See, because in my mind, my man was this big. He was absolutely black all over. And he was able, as big as I am, to pick me up, and it didn't bother him. So I liked this man, nice businessman, but I wasn't interested in him in that kind of a way because he wasn't my type. And so we discussed working for the company that he was sponsoring. And we talked on the phone he lived here from Chicago to Los Angeles almost all night, every night, about the business. Then one night, for true, he called me with plans, honey. That was the thing that impressed me. He had plans. He had schemes about how we should go about doing the ad and what we should do and how it should be. Very, very impressive businessman. So one night we're talking on the phone. I'm sitting at my desk, and we start to talk, and we talk for 45 minutes. And when I hang up the phone, we haven't said anything about creamettes. Oh, I dial the phone right back. I catch him stepping out of the door of his office. I talked 45 minutes. I didn't say nothing about no creamette. So this man had to come to Los Angeles because he had the tuna. What's the fish? You know the tuna fish? He had that account too. So he came to see about the tuna. So I invited him to come by for some wine and cheese after he finished his business. And he came by, and somehow there, he got taller and blacker. Well, he did. She healed my images. She healed my mind. I'm talking about healing. That picture crumbled that I had carried for so long, and it was a good thing it crumbled because I had found this man several times. Once he was a preacher, once he was a lawyer, once he was the numbers man. But when you got right down to it, he was that same little small creature inside, you see. So she healed my mind of this image, you see. So now we are talking on the phone and we're courting. And I'm beginning to be really interested. But every all the time I'm spending with him is honeymoon. Honey, 2 days here, 3 days. You can do anything for 2 days and be happy. You know, but now I want to get down to some serious business here. So this play comes up over on right off the lake. I forget the name of the building over there by where they play football and everything. And this play comes up, and he lives here. So we'll have 2 weeks of rehearsal and 4 weeks of the show. I figure in 6 weeks I can find out anything I want to know about this dude. And I'd be here to play with Buddy. So I get here and I find out that he is a member of Buddy's church. Been a member a long time of Buddy's church. And so, make a long story short, we became engaged. And while we were engaged, we were going to slip off a little weekend of, think about it. And the only thing I had to do was the Johnny Carson show. And I had my bags all packed and everything, because we do the Johnny Carson show. You tape it about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you did then. And they would show it at 11 o'clock all over the country. And so I went to tape the show, and I'm singing. Now, if you are really good, your musicians will tell you this. You can check with it later. To sing with just a bass fiddle is a difficult thing to do, because he doesn't play any chord changes for you. He just plays the rhythm. So I got to do that, because you can't do that. So I got to do that. So I'm on Johnny Carson's show, and the bass player strikes out, and I start to sing. And my legs make a twitch, and I fall to the floor. I don't know what's wrong with me, but before I hit the ground, I said, "Father, into your hands I cast my spirit." I don't know what happened after that. I wake up the next morning, and I have already been to 2 hospitals because they didn't know what was wrong with me. The first hospital they took me to, they looked at me, and they said that it must be obesity. And so they took all my vital signs, and all of them were wonderful. So they said, "Well, we don't know what to do with a sender over there." So they sent me to another hospital, and eventually my doctor was called, because this hospital was looking for the drugs, the overdose, because I was black and I was an entertainer, so it must be drugs and overdose. And so they looked, and so my doctor came. He said, "She's not on drugs." I said, "Something else is wrong with her." So they moved me to yet another hospital, because this other hospital, Midway, has the equipment to find out what is really wrong with me. And they take me there, and they check me in, and I like light. If you ever came to my house, you would understand half of my house is windows. I like light. And they had pulled down all the shades in the hospital room, and everybody was whispering. And they were talking like I wasn't there. They were talking to this man who is now my fiance, and to my son, who is a psychiatrist, and to my daughter, who was here on planet Earth at that time. And they're, "You shouldn't be in it. Don't talk to her. Don't. And I don't know what's wrong with me. See, I'm feeling now like I got some tools. If they told me what was wrong with me, I could probably help myself. I'm praying. I'm talking to God. And I finally go to sleep. And when I wake up, this one is holding my hand like this. And she says to me, "God and I are here. It's already done." And this one leaned down on the other side, and she says, "Everything that you need is inside of you. And we're going to bring it up, and you coming up out of here." Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. So Buddy begins to talk to me, and she begins to pray with me. Helen began to pray with me. And, I left out something. I got to tell you this. Yeah, I did. It's like a movie. I'm going to write a book for somebody to do this, because it's like a movie. It really is like a movie. Now, I got this doctor, his name's Sandy. He made his transition, I'm still here. But Sandy did not want to be responsible for killing Della Reese. And so he would come in my room every day, and he would explain to me why I had to die. And he would give me statistics. 7 out of 10. 4 out of 6. That all die from this. If you don't die, you're either going to be blind, crippled, or crazy.
Wonderful choices. Don't you think that's wonderful choice?
Wonderful. So now, this particular day, Sandy comes in and he says to me, "You're going to have an arteriogram." I've never heard that word before in my life. And he explains to me that an arteriogram is to run a tube from my groin to my brain so that they could shoot a dye so that they could see where this aneurysm, that's what it was, which has ruptured in my brain. So when they open my head, they'll know directly where to go and directly what to do. And so I'm just laying there. Franklin goes across the street to get some vegetables because they don't have anything. If you ever been in the hospital, I don't have to explain that. So he went to get me something to eat. So while he's gone, I'm speaking to the Father. I said, "Father, I don't know what kind of decisions to make because I don't understand the language." And the door opens, and this man comes in hospital gear, the boots over his shoes and the operating uniform. He had a mask laying down here and a hat on his head. And he said, he leaned around the door, and he said, "Miss Reese, may I come in and speak to you for a moment?" And I said, "Yeah, I like my fans. They take care of me." I thought he was a fan. I said, "Come on in." He says, "I'm from arteriograms. And something told me I should come in here and talk to you because sometimes the patients don't understand the language." Now, just the prayer I prayed, wasn't nobody in the room but me and God. Ain't no way in the world this man knew what prayer I prayed in silence in my bed, in my room. He says, "Now, I know what to do." He said, "But in case you don't get me, the man you will get is the man who taught me. And he taught me everything I know, and I know what to do. But he never taught me everything he knows. So either one of us you get, you're going to be all right." Say, "All we need for you to do, Miss Reese, is to be still." Say, "Can you be still?" My favorite Bible verse is, "Be still and know that I am God." They took me to the arteriograph room, and I don't know what happened. I never felt anything. I didn't know anything about anything. The man did everything he was supposed to do. I never felt no pain, no nothing. They took me back to my room. He brought in the reading, and he said that everything was fine and that it was okay that I should have surgery. That happened just before Johnny and Helen got there. And now Sandy don't want to operate. So my son says, "Mama, why won't they do something?" I said, "I don't know, but I want them to do something right away." And so he goes, he takes the x-rays. He and this man I'm engaged to take the x-rays to UCLA. And they have the x-rays read. And the man at UCLA said, "Well, if he can't operate from these x-rays, don't let him operate at all." So now there are a couple of other people that you need to take her to. So there's one in London, Ontario, and there's one in Switzerland. But we think you should take her to London, Ontario, because you're going to have to keep her medicated all the way there, and it's 14 hours to Switzerland. But it's only 5 to Canada. And so you would only have to give her the medication twice. We would give it to her before she left, and you would only have to give it to her twice. And so they decided to take me to London, Ontario. Buddy says, "I'll go with you." And they take me down, and they put me into the limousine. And I'm reaching for her. I want her to come and get in. And she leans into the door of the car, and she says, "I don't have to go. It's already done. Go. God is with you. It's already done. I don't have to go. I'll be praying. Ooh, Jesus. I'll be praying with you. And I'll talk to you every day. So they take me to London, Ontario. And when I get there, I meet this marvelous human being, Dr. Charles Drake. And he looks at my x-rays and he says, "You have a normal female aneurysm." And I said, "Well, I'm glad to have that. I don't want no man stuff messing around in my brain." And he laughed, and that was the first laughter other than my family that I had heard since this had happened to me. And he said, he leaned down in my ear, and he said to me, "I know I don't do this by myself. God holds my hand." And I said, "Well, do whatever it is that you have to do." And so they put me on this gurney, and my son and this man I was engaged to and my daughter followed behind the gurney, and they're saying all the things that you should say. My baby is saying, "I'll be here when you get out, Mama. We're waiting on you. Hurry up, Mama, get up." My son is saying, "This is a good man. I've checked his records, his status, he's good, he's good. He's a doctor, that's what he would do. He says he's good, everything's all right, he's good." This man that I'm engaged to looked in my eyes and told me he loved me and he'd be waiting when I came out. And they rolled me into this room where they couldn't go. And I'll never forget this little space like this in the doorway where they crammed all of their faces in this little hole. And they were all smiling, but tears were running down their eyes, and they were smiling. And they rolled me into where they were going to give me the anesthesia. And I began to hum. "Don't be nervous, honey. It's all right. Don't be nervous." And there's a nurse there from India. She said, "Will you leave her alone? She liked to sing. I've seen her on Dr. Shuler's show. She liked to sing. Just give her the stuff and let her sing." I said, "He's everything I have hoped for. And he's everything that I need. God is so wonderful to me." And I was out. And for 9.5 hours, they cut me across here and pulled my scalp back and my forehead down over my nose. And for 9.5 hours, he was inside my head. And he fixed the aneurysm that was here. But while he was in there, he found out there were two more over here about to rupture. And so he closed up. And 10 days later, he went back and he fixed those two. But I have to give you this amusement here, and I'm going to sit down. I ended up, when they gave me the anesthesia, all I knew was, "Everything I have hoped for, everything that I need." So when it wore off, I say, God is so wonderful. When the nurse come running in, she said, oh, Miss Reese, don't do that, Miss Reese, don't do that. I said, to me, he's everything I've ever hoped for. Yes, he is, and he's everything and anything that I would ever. God, oh, God is wonderful. Oh, he's so wonderful to me. She revealed God to me, and she healed me from now on forever and ever.
Wow. And so I just wanted you to hear the story of Della Reese. I remember being in church that day, sitting in the balcony, hearing that story, and I thought it would bless you to know that God is so wonderful to me. Story of Della Reese. And I wanted to share that with you as we pay homage to a great sister who lived on the planet. And I know we honor her for all the movies and all the things that she played, but did you know she had been ordained a minister right here in Chicago with Dr. Johnny Coleman? She had been taking classes and honoring and becoming so many things that she did. She was a divine instrument in Hollywood. So when that show came out, Touched by an Angel, you know that was divine. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, press 1. If you're on Blog Talk, press star 6. If you're on the teleconference line. And today I just wanted to honor our sister, our gift, someone from our community, Miss Della Reese. All right. Good morning, Zakiya Lana. Stop wiping them tears.
Good morning. Good morning, Janine.
Good morning. Good morning.
Girl, you got me crying. Oh, my God. Oh, I want to just say thank you. Thank you, first of all, because I needed to hear her talk about how wonderful God is. How amazing. I'm just so blessed to have known her, not known her, but to have just known her spirit. And I knew she was a part of our community under the Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, but I had never heard this part of her story. And I said, God, if you can bring her through this, you can bring me through anything. And I'm so grateful. I just want to say thank you. You know, God always puts in your heart what somebody needs. And, of course, that was for me today. When I came in later on the call, and I said, what is that for? I really thought she was Reverend Dr. Johnny at first. And I said, no, it's not her. So, I don't know. I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate you so much. And I'm sort of here at the table, and tears are just rolling. And they're just tears of joy to be able to have had the experience of this beautiful soul on the planet. And I used to be faithful watching Touched by an Angel. And I thought the same thing. How amazing that she is an angel. And she was an angel when she was here, and she's an angel now. And I just want to say thank you. Mm-hmm. And I love you. And I'm going to open it up. Let somebody else come in. Hope ain't nobody else bubbling and boobling like me. Or maybe they are. And it's all good. So thank you. I love you so much.
You know, tears are just expansion. Tears are just expansion. My granddaddy used to say they orgasm of the eyes. You just expanding and growing. And that's all tears are. Yes, yes. So let those tears flow. Let them flow, let them flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow.
Yes, yes. And I'll be singing that song all day today. He is so wonderful to me. Thank you, beautiful. I love
God
you. I love you, Jeremy.
So wonderful to me. Can't you see? He's everything. When she started humming, I'm like, that is, you know, that was, good morning, Claudette. You know, that's the Christ Universal song.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Good morning,
Claudette.
Yes.
God love you.
Good morning, family. And Janine, thank you for this tribute. I love Taylor. I feel like I've got a lot of her history from Showtime here in Chicago. She was in a dance long before she became famous. And when she became famous, she was still gracious and welcoming. I think her humor and her smoky, deep voice is what I love about her. She just brings joy to me. That humming, it works for me. And Bella was profound, and she would understand her. I just loved her, and to be able to experience her up close and personal here in Chicagoland under Dr. Connie's teaching, and truly, truly, she changed the attitude, the spirit, and then the divine for us to know God in us. So thank you again. Love you, Bella. I see you on the other side. That's how I'm waving, baby girl. God bless. I'm complete.
God bless. Thank you so much. All right. Yeah. I tell you, you know, Dr. Johnny Coleman had a spirit that was so dynamic and so powerful. And what was so interesting about being a part of the church as a little girl growing up in Dr. Johnny Coleman Church, and I was sitting in the church when Della Reese was there doing this speech right here, and I was sitting in a balcony, and what I would think about is after she got through, Dr. Johnny Coleman got up and did a very powerful healing ceremony. And what I remember is thinking, it was something powerful about Dr. Johnny Coleman. She could get up and she could speak, and it was this film that would come over the church, and you could just feel the presence of God taking over the church. Now, Dr. Johnny Coleman didn't allow you to do, like when I grew up in the sanctified church, you know, they would do the shouting. You couldn't do that in the church, but you definitely could feel tears welling up in people and the spirit in people, because you could feel the presence of God in a way that I haven't felt in the church in a long, 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 long time. And I just give thanks for the power that Dr. Johnny Coleman reminded us, that the power to heal is right here in us. The power to heal everything is right here within us. And so I just want to, I pray that story that Dr. Della Reese did, but I want you to know today that I want to remind you that the power to heal everything in your life, your finances, your relationship, your physical body, whatever dis-ease or dysfunctions are going on, you do have the power to heal. You know, Della Reese, she had a couple of other things that happened in her life that she healed herself from. Dr. Johnny Coleman was given 6 months to live when she first got into New Thought. That was back in the 50s, and she didn't die until well over in the 2000s. I mean, yeah, she left the planet in the 2000s after they gave her 6 months to live. There was a healing presence in that church. So many of the pastors and different people who were a part of that church actually healed themselves. And so today, I just want to remind you that the healing presence of God is in us right now. Somebody needs to hear this today, because you have forgot who you are. You see, we forgot that we are the walking embodiment of all that God is. Healing can be ours today in any area of our life if we speak thing, believe that thing, honor it, and own it, and know it. Own your healing today, fam.
wherever you need a healing, if your marriage needs healing, if your finances need healing, if your children are on a direction that maybe you like wondering what's going on, you just honor the gift of healing through them. If your body is in some kind of something, then honor that place in that body and know you can be healed. I've seen it so many times right there in that church. When people were diagnosed and only given so many months, years, days to live. And I seen Dr. Johnny Coleman speak a thing and that whole atmosphere shifted. Every molecule in the room shifted. And you could feel the atmosphere change when she spoke a thing. But the good thing is, if she can do it, we can do it. And the word tells us if Jesus can do it, we can do it. Like my nephew came to me one day, he said, Auntie, how can I be down like Jesus? How can we be down like Jesus? How can we heal ourselves? How can we turn the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread and amplify it and turn water into wine? The power is in you today, but it only works if you work it. All right, family, just want to remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And I'm going to remind you to dream your God-sized dreams, but live them, family. Live them. All right, family. I'm going to play Kim, leaving you with We Three Kings. This is off the Christmas CD. Knowing that God is all there is. Love you all. This has been another Love Journey production.
Forever ceasing, never over us all serene.
All right, it's been another Love Journey production. Thank you for tuning in to Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And that was Kim, We Three Kings on the Christmas CD. I love you. Have a great day. See you in the morning.